Our New Testament lesson today is from the 21st chapter of Matthew, beginning our reading at the 33rd verse. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Hear another parable. There was a householder who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to tenants, and went to another country. When the season of fruit drew near, which was this time of the year, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Afterward he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the fruits of it." The word of the Lord. Well, in this parable, Jesus is asking the question, or the owner of the vineyard comes and asks the question, I should say, what will they do to these tenants who have beaten and stoned and killed all these people who have come? And verse 41 tells us that they said to him, "We will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants." That's their answer, and that's our answer too. Because that's what we would do if somebody did that to our property to our vineyards. But we need to remember that this is a parable of Jesus. And in verse 42, we see where Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing." So what's Jesus talking about as he makes this transition from talking about a vineyard to talking about himself? He's telling this parable, we need to remember, to the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were asking him for his credentials. They were trying to trap him. They were saying, "By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you the authority to teach us and tell us what to do?" That's our response lots of times to authority here in our lives, because we want to know what authority people have before they start telling us what to do and how to act and how to live our lives. They suddenly realized, after Jesus spoke to them, that the parable wasn't about a vineyard at all. It wasn't about a grape farm either. It was about them. They were the murderous tenants, and he was the son sent by the owner of the vineyard. He was the stone that was rejected, who one day would be the cornerstone. Jesus obviously knew the fate that awaited him. It's not easy to realize that your life is over, shortened by something over which you have no control. But Jesus did have control. And he had to do what he had to do, which was to step aside from the work God had called him to do, step aside, melt into the crowd, and let someone else save the world. He had a decision to make. Would he be faithful to God's call, or would he choose to save his own life? He did have a choice. No one would blame him if he chose to back off from this call that he had received from his Father. So I wonder if we can put ourselves in his shoes. Here he is, 33 years old, and he has a choice to make. To seek to experience the pleasures of this world, or to make his life a sacrifice for others. Today there's lots of young men and women who have faced that decision about choosing a life of pleasure or a life of sacrifice. And many have chosen sacrifice. Some are on the battlefields. Some are over in the Middle East. Some are on mission fields. Some are working in hospitals, ministering to those who are hurting. And many of them are doing so because they have been touched by the example of Jesus in their lives. I read something recently about Mother Teresa. Shane Claiborne was a man who worked with her in her mission in India. And after her death, he decided to write a book about her. And in the book, he says, "There's one thing I will never forget about Mother Teresa." He said, "Her feet." "Her feet were deformed," he writes. "I wondered if she had contracted leprosy, but I didn't think it was appropriate to ask her. So one day, one of the sisters asked us, 'Have any of you noticed her feet?' she asked. And we all nodded. Everybody nodded because they had noticed her feet. But nobody wanted to ask her. It's one of those questions you just don't ask someone. And the sister said, 'Her feet are deformed because when people send us shoes, we get just enough donated shoes for everyone to have one pair. And Mother Teresa does not want anyone to get stuck with the worst pair. So before anyone else has an opportunity, she digs through all the shoes and she finds the worst pair and she takes the worst pair for herself.'" Imagine that. Years of loving her neighbor as herself deformed her feet. She cared for others so much that she always chose the worst pair of shoes for herself. Maybe Jonathan and Cameron can think of that the next time they ask their mom or their dad for $200 for a pair of Nikes. As Jesus confronted the chief priests and the Pharisees, he knew the future that faced him. This was a cruel time in history. Troublemakers were disposed of quickly with little or no trial. Within a matter of days, Jesus would be beaten and crucified naked on a cross. Not because he had done anything wrong, but because his own people rejected him and the kingdom that he taught. 33 years old, and he could see how his life would end. Why do you suppose he did it? What drove him to lay down his life? Love. That's the only reason. Think about the transforming power of love. There was a remarkable story a few years ago in the Los Angeles Times. It was about a young man who gave his life trying to save an older man who had been drinking and had fallen onto the tracks in a subway station. The remarkable aspect of this story was that the older man was Japanese. The young man who died trying to save him was Korean. There are still bad feelings between Korea and Japan over the atrocities committed by the Japanese during World War II. The young Korean's grandfather was a forced laborer slave in one of Japan's coal mines during World War II. The young Korean had come to Japan as a student with the intended purpose of trying to improve relations between the two countries. He just didn't know at the time that he would die trying to do it. Never in his wildest dreams could he have imagined the impact he would have on Japanese society by this one courageous act. The attention of the entire Japanese nation was transfixed by his actions in that subway station. Most of the Japanese people could not believe that a Korean would selflessly give his life for one of their people. Before this incident, most Japanese people were inclined to help only those they knew. That was the Japanese way. But this young man from Korea showed them that it is possible to love across national lines. Thank God there are people who are capable of that kind of selfless love. The article didn't say that this young man was a Christian, but I wouldn't be surprised if he were, because South Korea is a nation with a strong Christian presence. He gave his life as a sacrifice. Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice. And that, my friends, is the way of Jesus. People all over this world have been touched by Jesus. Young people, old people, people right here in Westfield, many of you right here in this sanctuary this morning, people caring for people. Some people are never in a situation where an act of heroism is called for. Some show their love in a simple visit to someone who is ill or homebound. As Jesus told this parable, he knew what was going to happen to him. Why did he lay down his life? Love. He laid down his life because he loved you and me so much. And he loves all of his children. That's why he laid down his life. What was his goal? What did he hope to achieve? His goal was that his life would be a cornerstone for a new way of living. Around a table on Maundy Thursday, Jesus passed a loaf of bread. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he passed a cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you." Today is a good day for us to take stock of our lives in the same way Jesus asked the chief priests and the Pharisees to take stock of their lives. I know you well enough to know that you really care about other people, especially people beyond the walls of this church. That, my friends, and the love that motivates such caring is the way of Jesus. It's the way he chose to live, and it's the way we should choose to live. Amen.